Today's Perek in Tanakh is Shoftim Perek Vav. We just completed the change that had occurred in Klal Yisrael due to Devorah, and there's now a 40-year period in which we have peace. And after, once again, after the loss of the Shofeta to the Shofet, things tend to go back to the way they were, as we're told in the beginning of the book. And so, Vayasu v'nei Yisrael hara, now, the truth is, of course, it's not as if we go nowhere. And there's, if we do careful analysis, we can see the different issues that are brought up at different times, the different nations that are the source of the problems to Yisrael, the different types of Yeshuas, and clearly, in the same way that in our times, the differences, let's say, in the various idolatries, one could call them, of the 20th century, appeared very, very clear at the time to people. They were so different that they would kill for them. You know, if you're a socialist or a communist, I mean, you're ready to kill each other. Obviously, in generations to come, when kids want to know what was the difference between that story in the book and that story in the book, it's very hard to explain what the difference is because it all sounds like the same nonsense. And at the time, it doesn't seem like the same nonsense at all. It seems to be so different. And clearly, to these people, they weren't just doing the same thing again and again and again. It's a whole new ballgame out there. And when we look in very carefully, which is what we need to keep our minds open to, we can re-experience some of the issues and some of the changes by noting the way that there's responsiveness to what happens and who it is that's doing it. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Yisrael into the hands of Midian for 7 years. And so Vata'oz, by the way, one very important diak right now, is that in all of the other cases, we had the word Vayosifu lasot hara. Here there's no Vayosifu. Now that's very telling, because what it must mean is that the tikkun of Devorah was so complete that there was no going back. It was as if it was a new failure. So once you're metaken something that was before, it means it's not vayosifu, you're adding to the previous problem. So that itself tells us this is not simply forgetting, this is a new thing that has happened. Remarkable. Vatoz yat Midyan Yisrael. And so Midyan became so powerful. And because of Midyan, we had to actually go live underground. Midyan, Asula Mene Yisrael, Taminarot, Ashabaharim, Vatameharot, Vatamitsodot. There needed to be escape hatches, little underground passageways that you can go from one location to the other so that they can't catch you. And there's always ways in which you can go and make certain that there are traps against the enemies and places for you to escape. V'haya im zara Yisrael, v'ala Midyan, v'amalek, v'nei kedem, v'alu alav. And indeed, as the Medrash tells us, Midyan sent to Amalek, sent to B'nai Kedem, and said to them, look, what we've been looking at is a long period in which these Israelis go and they do whatever they can to destroy us and to be godeya us, to take everything out from under us. And what we need to do is gradually undermine them by showing them that they'll never be able to settle here properly. They'll never be able to make the land fruitful because we'll keep ruining it for them. So although it's not a constant war, it's taking advantage of the most important times. As soon as your crops are in the most vulnerable state, you've got to go out there. You've got a brief period in which you're able to collect them. That's when they come. That's when you hide. That's when they steal. They know exactly what to do. You come back in the morning and there's nothing left. So Midian, Amalek, B'nai Kedem, they just happened to make their migration across the fields. V'olu alav. V'yachanu alehem. V'yashchitu et yevula aretz ad bo'acha aza. The land was completely wiped out from Emek Israel down to Aza. There's nothing left, basically. There was no way to store sufficient food for yourself, almost. Because they would just come wandering through, you know. Then they would be with all of these animals who would just eat. So they were like locusts, and there's no limit. And they just went through Vayavov Artashakata. They're only reason for being there was to leave destruction behind them. Vayida Yisrael ma'od mipnei binyan. And so, Kalal Yisrael became weaker and weaker. The way the Medrash understands this is that they became weak in terms of ma'asim tovim. In other words, instead of being mitchazek, there was a sense of hopelessness, of dalut. Vayizaku b'nei Yisrael el Adonai. And so they cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that it was now the first response. Vayizaku b'nei Yisrael el Adonai l'odot minyan. And here, for the first time, we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to Za'aka with Hadrocha. Now remember, we're used to the idea that there are Nevi'im, that Nevi'im come to be Mochiyach and so on. This is the first time such a thing happened. There's a problem. People don't know how to deal with the problem. Yes, we've had Tochocha, Malach shows up, which was really Pinchas, but the sense of a Shlichut with a Nevi'ut, in which this is what they need to hear, the communication, as opposed to the information, is something completely new. Vayishlach Adonai ish navi al bnei Yisrael. And it's unimportant to us to even know who he was. Because then we're not talking about the tkufa of the Nevi'im, in which the personality of the Navi and the message of the Navi is something that defines an entire era. We're talking about a specific shlichut. As a matter of fact, the Seder Olam said this was also Pinchas. And that Pinchas was given a Nevi'ut for this purpose. And since it's not his normal identity to be Pinchas HaNavi, we don't mention him, because it really isn't him. It's just utilizing his mind. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to respond. Vayom Alehem, Ko Amar Adonai Elohei Yisrael, Anochi Ha'aleiti Etchem Mitzrayim Ve'otzi Etchem Beit Avadim. Look, I did whatever I could. Took you out of Beit Avadim. Vatzil Etchem Miyad Mitzrayim U'miyad Kol Lochatzechem. I saved you from Egypt. I saved you from the ones that came afterwards to try to pressure you. Ve'gerash Otam Mipnechem, Egeresh Otam Mipnechem, Ve'etna Lechem At Artzam. I wiped out the Goyim, gave you the land. All I said to you was, Vomra Lechem, Ani Adonai Eloheichem. That's all. Lo tiru et Elohei Amori, asher atam yoshvim b'artzam. There can't be any sense of needing to relate to local gods of any kind. There's no other connection that you can have. There's no Elohei Haaretz. Maybe in Chutz La'aretz there is, but here I am, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, forget about Elohei Amori. V'lo shamatem b'koli. So now you're turning around and saying, what are we supposed to do? I don't understand what the question is. We arranged originally that you would be Yoshev here forever, as long as you just stick with me, that's all. So now this is the backdrop to what happened. Because, first of all, we see from this that the way to understand the context of everything that comes is in terms of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the relationship to Elohei Amori. Well, it happens to be that the story that follows takes place on Pesach. Now, this is a remarkable story. It's a beautiful story. Any of you who ever saw Smallville will understand this story. I don't know if you ever saw Smallville. It's the background, it's all television series, which is the background to how Superman ended up growing. Right? So there it talks about him. Yeah, so it talks about him as a little boy in this town called Smallville. Right?
Crypto.
No. He's on Earth. He's on a farm. He's on a farm in Smallville, and he's got to be able to discover his own kochot, and that he has these drives, and he wants very much to make a tikkun, all right? But basically, he's a good kid. He's taking care of his father, trying to do his best, yeah? And he gradually discovers himself. This is the scene as you have to imagine it. Here is a fine kid. He cares about his father, and he's literally in Smallville, as he himself says. What are you coming to me for? This is like Nowheresville, Daddy. Right? So I'm certainly not the guy that's going to do anything. I mean, I'm just sitting here on the farm. So this actually is where we meet Superman in that series. So here he is. Vayavo malach Adonai. So now, suddenly, a malach shows up. Vayeshev tachat ha'elah asher ba'ofra. Not to be confused with Ofra of Binyamin. This is the other Ofra, no? You have your, I don't know if you have any indication on your maps. This is a more modern map, right?
Awesome.
Okay, but we're basically talking about the Menashe area. The chelek of Aviezer in Menashe, if you notice here on this map, is slightly to the north of Shechem. It's strongly to the west of Shechem. Okay, so here would be that Ofra, would appear. Nowhere connected to the Ofra, which is around the Beit El area, which is in Binyamin. So this is the smallest section of Menashe. The youngest family, the six families of Menashe, is Aviha Ezri. Yeah, this is Menashe we're talking about. Okay. So the Malach comes and sits under a tree. And the Medrash points out, we never find Malachim sitting. That means that this Malach is made to be sitting. That's his form to sitting. As the Medrash puts it, look, you know, sometimes God makes us a Malach of Ruchot. I don't know, maybe they're just Ruchot. Sometimes they're girls, sometimes they're boys. Sometimes they're standing, sometimes they're sitting. So don't ask questions about a Malach. Okay, so this Malach now is built, specially manufactured, to be sitting. And he's sitting under this tree. And it's an Ofra shel Yoash Avi Ezri. V'Gid'on b'no chovet chitim begat la'adnis b'binyan. Now they're trying to keep enough food for the family. So instead of going into a threshing floor, he goes basically into a press so that nobody can see what he's doing inside. And he's got a little bit of chitim, and so with his hand, he's using a stick, he's banging on this chitim, and he's trying to hide them from Midian to process them quickly enough. And as the Medrash says, his father originally, that's what was like, Gidon Beno, what is after Gidon Beno? Why are you saying Gidon Beno? If we're just, I mean, why is he relating as a son? So it's just the deal over here is that initially the father sat down, and he was the one who was doing the Chavata, and Gidon was basically just putting them through a sifter to try to get it. They couldn't go into the Gadish to be able to winnow it. So he turns to his father, and he says, Dad, you're an old man. If the Midianim suddenly show up, and we're out here, you're not going to be able to run fast enough to get away. This gives us the sense, first of all, what kind of kid he is, and that he's relating as a loyal son, and that how desperate they are, that they've got to hide out in a gut to get a little bit of chitim. And it's an unbelievable situation. And it's the day after the Seder of Pesach. So ringing in his ears is what this Navi just talked about. His father's told him all about the Nisim of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. And all of a sudden, there's a Malach. His father's no longer there. It's clear that the father has disappeared. He's Gideon Beno. Vayera Allah Elav Malach Adonai. Vayomra Elav Adonaim Cha Gibor Achaya. He's one. I'm the hero? What? Who are we talking to? So he says, it's a beautiful response. Excuse me? Be Adonai. This is a beautiful word. What? Excuse me? Excuse me, sir? God is with me? My only love, Gidon, be Adonai. Just a slight question about this. If Yesh Adonai Imanu, I mean, if you're right, it sure don't look that way from the situation around here. I mean, get a gander at what's going on around here. The Lama Mitzatano calls out. I mean, if really Yesh Adonai Imanu, the way you claim, and then I wouldn't be sitting here crouched over trying to get 5 cents worth of bread. What happened to all the miracles I heard about last night? So now all this goes back directly to what the Navi had said, what he had said. We see it now as the context. Clearly, the context of the Malach's arrival here was the ringing in Gidon's ears. Because the first thing, it's like this is what he's been thinking about, right? You sense in him. He's in that gut, and he's thinking to himself, this is sick. This is crazy. Nothing adds up. What happened? All of you? A yeniflo tav, what happened? What does that make sense? What, if he just dropped us? So now we got these low-class people over here. I mean, Mitzrayim, a world power. I mean, I don't understand what's going on. And the Medrash says that he said, Mamanavshav, if Lamaisa, the people that were Mitzal from Mitzrayim, were really worthy of it, so then that should be a schus for us too, and that should be a different Yerusha Ta'aretz. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them out because they were coming to the Memtet Sharei Tuma, and so on, so then why does he save us? But this is an impossible situation. Don't give me this garbage, Hashem Imcha. I mean, you obviously are not looking. At that point, the Malach doesn't turn to him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to him. Vayifen elav Adonai, before that it was Malach. Vayomer, lech bekochach hazeh, that's the solution. It's your attitude. V'yoshata at Yisrael mikaf midyan. Halo shalaktiko. These words, I have made you the shliach. So in other words, as the Midrash puts it, Kadosh Baruch Hu is dying to get them out of this situation. There hasn't been one person that has made a stand that this is intolerable, that something has to be done about it. The only thing that they did was they screamed, ah! So, okay, so we send them a Navi. No? Yeah, okay, no. Yeah, you're right. It's a big problem, right? You see? And now all of a sudden, here's this kid. And he's saying, I can't take it. I don't know what you're saying, but I can't take it. Oh, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now there's somebody's being melamed. Schus, that is the only thing I was waiting for. And so he immediately imbues him with the power of indeed being a superman. And he turns to Hashem and he says, I just have a little bit of a problem. Bama Oshiat Israel. What do I do exactly? Flap my wings? Use my X-ray vision? Hine alpi adal b'menashe. Vanochi atzair b'beit avi. The alfei menashe, which is Beit Avi Ezri, is the sixth and smallest of Menashe. So like, you've come literally to Smallville, and you've chosen a kid in Smallville to be the guy who's going to be saving Yisrael. I mean, with what? Vayomer Elav Adonai, you don't need a with what. Ki eyema. That's the whole point, buddy. I've been waiting for somebody who's ready to be the hero. You are the hero. V'kitat midyan ki shechayen. What's your problem? What, they got 30,000 people? They got one people. As far as I'm concerned, it's ki ishechad. This is a theme we keep finding. Ki ishechad, where there's a Yeshua. It doesn't matter how many people there are. If there's going to be a Yeshua, it's exactly the same if there's ishechad or if there's a lot. Vayomer Elav, so he says to this malach, he says, V'na matzatuchei menecha. Do I know that I'm not hallucinating? God, this is crazy. You know, could we have like a little sign, maybe? V'asita li'ot shata medaberimi. I'll tell you what. Could you just stay here? Al-natamush mizeh. Ad-bo elecha. You know, why don't we try some of this malach shtick? You know, so I'm going to bring you a gift. And I invite you to eat. Okay. So, but, you know, if you're really a malach, these kind of guys have a tendency to disappear. So if I turn around and you're not here when I get back, then I'm going to be convinced that this is hallucination. So the malach says, okay, I was born to sit. I'm going to sit because that's what I was made to do. So, but you know, Baba, I ask the Yizim, Veifat Kemach, Matzot. Of course, it's Pesach, he has to make Kemach. Matzah, he puts the baser in the sal, in the marak, which says some beparur, puts it into a pot, and now he's got this whole thing ready. Sets up the table on a stone over here, makes it very nice so that we can discuss what we're going to do. Forget about serving. Take the meat. Put it down on the rock directly. Pour all of the juices over the sela. So that now everything is soaking wet. Shvov. But the mark shvov. Vayazke. Vayishlach malach Adonai et kteh ha-mish'enet asher b'yado. Vayigah b'basar b'matzot. Vatah la'ish min atzur. Flame bursts out from the rock itself. Vatochal et ha-basar et ha-matzot. And the malach disappears. This is it. Malach Adonai alach me'enav. Oh my gosh, this kid. Oh boy, I know. He's playing with fire. Oh no, no. I heard a lot of bad stories about that. Vayiragid on. Ki malach Adonaihu. Vayomer Gideon, oh, Adonai Elohim, ha'ken ra'iti malach Adonai. Panim ha'panim, am I in big trouble? Vayomer lo Adonai shalom. No trouble. Don't worry, everything's fine. Shalom lecha. Al tira lo tamut. No problem. This was a malach made for you. Vayiven sham Gideon mizbeach l'Adonai. Vayikra lo Adonai shalom. So Gideon builds this mizbeach. The name of the mizbeach is Al Shem. The shalom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu called. And this mizbeach is Ad HaYom HaZeh Odenu Bofrat Avia Ezri. It's still in the section of Avia Ezri in that Ephrat, not in the other Ephrat. So don't get mixed up between Ofra and this Ofra. It's the Ofra which becomes now the Samuch Ofrat Avia Ezri. Which Ofra? Ofra of Avia Ezri.
The one we were here before.
Well, we were in before, right.
By the way, that's a Yeshua called Afeminashem. Located right about there.
It's probably based on this Katan Mi'alfei Menashe, yeah. That would make sense. So now, on the surface, this just seems to be a kid who's responding basically to what is being told to him. The darga of Gideon and the intensity of his responses, the meaning of his responses, can be gleaned from the way in which we literally learn all types of Kabbalistic yisodot, all types of dinim halacha lamaisa, from just these words, Vayikra lo Hashem Shalom. So first of all, the very common halacha, you don't say shalom in a bathroom, is learned from here. Because Chazal darshan this to mean, Vayikra lo Gideon called the Shekhinah shalom. He called to Hashem shalom, which brings the Gemara says, brings us a raya, that it must be that he was Megala, one of the Shemais of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the Gemara asks, so, I mean, that should mean also, you can't say, by Hemnusa, which is a normal way of expressing, no, by Hemnusa, my belief, because it says, Ayala Ne'eman, so that's Hashem Shalom. Says the Gemara, no, there's a tremendous difference. Here, Ayala Ne'eman simply means God who is Ne'eman. When he is saying Hashem Shalom, he is giving a new shame. Hashem's name is Shalom. So this is an incredible thing. This is like a gilui now of an entirely different presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we learn out from here, the Gemara Chagiga, that the highest darga, which are, there are seven rakiyas, right? So we have the Vilon, Rakiya, Shakim, Zvul, Ma'on, Machon, Arvut, Aravot. So Aravot becomes now the place where Kisei HaKavod, Melech Kirchai is above, right above that. That's where you have Mishpat, Tzedakah, Ginzei Chaim, the Ginzei Shalom. The Gemara needs to bring a riot to each one of the. How do we know Ginzei Shalom are there? Because Vayikra Lo, meaning that he brought down this Hashpa, Hashem Shalom. So it means that he was able to touch all the way Ba'aravot Bekashmo, which is the Yeshua's Hashem, to bring down Me'aravot, Rochev Shamayim Be'ezrecha. So the Shechina that was in Aravot, which is Shalom, was brought down, says the Gemara in Seita, by Gideon. This is no kid playing little games. This is astonishing stuff. So that he was the one that was zeichet to be miato shalom ben Yisrael avim shabbat shamayim. This becomes now the godol hashalom that comes to all now the kapora and everything that comes of it. So this is heavy duty stuff. Now, what happens is that now that he's been told that he is the one that is going to be the Moshe of Yisrael, so he's built the mizbeach and he's accepted this job. So that night, this is the night of Akravas HaOmer. Vayomer lo Adonai, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, look, you guys seem to have this little hobby of worshiping the Baal. It's not a nice hobby. And this is what we're going to do. Now, his father was one of the leaders, and he had Ekach et par hashor asher le'avicha. So take just that par that your father owns. So that there's another famous par, Parasheni Sheva Shanim, from which Reish Lakish brings a raya that less than 7 years of mukta is not even seriously mukta. So in other words, what they're doing is for 7 years, and that's a very holy number. So for 7 years, they're going to be raising this par l'shem kutshu balhu, right? And they're going to be raising this thing. And so they've been waiting. Now this thing is 7 years old. They're ready for the big Baal ceremony. They've got a mukta short. V'harastas is bacha Baal asher le'avicha. So what I want you to do is tear apart the mizbeach, cut down the tree that they've planted there, which is an asherah, v'et asherah asher alof tichrot, and go up to the top of the ma'oz. Banita mizbeach l'adonai alech al rosh ha-ma'oz hazeh b'ma'aracha, v'lakach et hapar ha-sheni, I want you to do everything wrong. This is amazing. Do everything wrong? Yeah, says the Gemara. There are 8 things over here that he's being told to do wrong.
He's burning the
Asherah. I mean, he's using, first of all, there was a Mishkan in Shila. So he's not even allowed to bring a korban. So he was being makriv b'chutz. He's being makriv b'layla, which is also. It's only b'yom tzav also. He's not a Kohen. He's from Menashe. He doesn't have any klisharis, and he's doing Aveda. He's using the kalim of the Asherah, as we'll see. He's burning the carbon with Atzei Asherah. He's taking a carbon that is Mukta. And not only that, but it was also Ne'avad itself. So every possible Isser, he's doing. And he's doing every possible issur at the same time to the Avodah Zarah. Well, I mean, you can't be more insulting. I mean, this is outrageous. Okay, so Ikach Gidon Asarah Nashim Yavadav, so Medrash points out, the din of Kiddush Shem Shemayim is Patoch Asarah. That he wanted this to be a Kiddush Shem Shemayim Barabim. So he takes 10 people. So he's getting to be more and more of a knowledgeable person. The more we see of him, he seems to be a pretty serious guy. But he was afraid of what they would do. So he does this in the night. They wake up in the morning. Oh my gosh, somebody has attacked the temple. All Mizbeach is in pieces. Their beautiful tree has been cut down. See this other Mizbeach with this par that was micro. So they look into it and they found out that Gidon ben Yoash asa adamar hazeh. So they go to Yoash's father. Where's your kid? Get your son out of here, he's to die. V'yamot. Ach, chutzpah. Kinat tzatzet mizbach habal. V'chi charat asher asher alav. Now this turns Yoash around. V'yomer Yoash l'chol asher amdu alav. Oh, so now the Baal needs your help. So you are now going to fight the Baal's battle. The damn thing couldn't protect itself from the attack. All right, but now you're going to protect it, right? So atem terivim l'baal. You're going to save the Baal, huh? You know what? I'm telling you right now, guys. Asher yariv lo, you mat. Let's go. Who wants to be first to try to find my son? Ada boker, just wait. I mean, for sure, he's not going to last till the boker, right? I mean, the Baal's going to get him. No question about it. Im Elohimu, why? I mean, he's God. Let him go ahead, yariv lo. He can carry on his own fight, believe me. I mean, after all, my son is terrible. Kina tatzet mizbecho. So let's see. Vayikra lo bayomahu yiru baal. And his, some say it means his father gave the name to Gidon, calling him yiru baal lemor yarev bo habaal. Kina tatzet mizbecho. Here is the guy who openly challenged the baal. Okay, baal, let's go. Let's have it out. Yiru baal. So now he becomes now the sarcastic laughter against the baal. Now, meanwhile, Chol Midian v'Amalek v'nei Kerem nesu yachdav ve'avru v'yachanu be'emek Yisrael. Here they are now, down in Emek Yisrael, v'ruach Adonai lavshad Gidon, and so he suddenly is filled with the spirit, v'yitka b'shofar, and he blows on his horn of Rohan, v'yizayika v'yezer acharav. The entire family of Aviezer is moved, comes running with the Malachim Shalach Becho Menasheh. He sends messengers to everyone. Vayizaik Gamu Acharav, and all of Menasheh follows. Umalachim Shalach Ba'asher, Ubizrulon, Ubinaftali, raise the shire, Vayalu Likratam, and they're all coming now to greet him. They're coming together. Now, at this point, Gidon gets a little bit creeped out. You know, is he sure that this is real and that he isn't having delusions of grandeur? So, Vayomer Gidon El Elohim. If you really want to do this, can we try a little game? I'm going to put out some tzemer out there in the goren. So if there's only tal on the gizah, so if everything else is dry and the gizah is wet, so then I know that it's okay. And so it was. Vayashkim b'machorat, he gets up in the morning. Vayazar at hagizah. Vayimetz tal min hagizah melo ha-sefer mayim. He squeezes the gizah, and sure enough, he gets a whole cup of water from this little bit, the skein of wool. Vayomer Gidon Elohim. All right, but, you know, there's all kinds of interesting reactions about temperature variations and so on. I mean, I'm not much of a scientist, but maybe we should try a control experiment. Can we do it the other way around? So, don't get mad, okay? Just one more try. Let's try it the other way around. This guy's a real skeptic. He's definitely not sure of himself. So why don't we have the Giza being dry this time and all over being wet? Now, you notice that in the first try, the Medrash Gemara points out, it doesn't say that the Giza was wet and the rest of the land was dry. Only here it says the Giza was dry, the rest of it was wet. Because we're never mafsik tal. That's the point. So to say that the tal should not condense on the ground is a violation of tal. Nobody, that's why if you leave out the tain tal and matar, tal is never mufsik anyway, therefore it's not dependent on tefillah. Mamele, he had no right to bechlal talk about the tal. So that, in fact, these little games that he was playing is a very choni amagel kind of stuff.
Yes.
What do you think you're playing at, really? And according to the Medrash, I mean, we should have just whacked him across the faces. Come on, kid. But, again, he was like a child that's terev. So therefore, says the Marami Pano, choni amagel is a gilgal of Gidal. Indeed, playing these kind of games, because that's the vision. It's this ben, mitchatei al aviv. It's exactly the same attitude. You got the little boy who's talking to them, whatever. Okay, can we do it the other way? And that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for. Now look at the overall amazing thrust of the issue of the parak, and you will see how things have totally changed because of that opening missing word by Yosefu. The truth is that what we see over here is an instantaneous response, not only by Gidon. The moment somebody blows the horn, everybody's coming running. I understand, we've been going through hell for all of these years. Nobody's been able to protect anything.
And
comes along some kid, blows a horn. Absolutely, there we go. I mean, it's a wild story. But more powerfully, halachically, it's a wild story. Because every violation in terms of the carbon, that's only a tiny part of the story. Because what the Gemara learns out from here is that when the Malach greeted him, and he said to him, Adonaim Chagi Barachayo, that became the makar of the did of saying Adonaim Achem, with saying the shame, which Boaz, and the certain one said, well, maybe Boaz just started up. No! Of course Boaz didn't just think it up. What the Malach was doing was bringing out the fact that sometimes, hey, Feru Torah Techa, do the opposite of what the Torah demands. But that's exactly what he was doing with the Korban. It was all Hora'at Sha'a. So here we have a concept of spontaneity, which is the whole basis of the situation demands response. I'm just waiting for somebody to care enough. This is exactly what happens to the Geula that comes from the story of Ruth. Boaz sees that we need to tell people, you are heroes. It's God that's with you. And it's the same response that Gidon has. If that's the case, why the heck are we putting up with this nonsense? He was able to give that over to B'nai Ephraim Menashe because of his attitude, because of the things that he was doing. And instead of everybody saying, this no good kid thinks he is allowed to go and go against halacha with this and have delusions of grandeur of this and so on, everybody was in a position of responsiveness once Superboy appeared. So that means that the closing of the previous parsha, Shakamti Im B'Yisrael, achieved a complete change in which everybody accepted that idea of the connection to what her vision was of Im. They lived within an Eretz that Dvorah had defined for them. All it took was somebody prodding the little boy and saying to him, you too can be a hero. This is Lahavdil, the Dickens beginning. Are you going to be the hero of your life? That's the question. And that's exactly what he was questioning about. You may be in Smallville, and you may think your family's nothing, and you may look at yourself as being nothing. Do you care about the situation? Is it crazy? Yes. If there really were Nisim in Mitzrayim, why are there no Nisim? Good. Lake B'kochach Hazeh. Be outraged, because that outrage will be able to get you out of this mess. And we're going to see the most astonishing, spontaneous elements in the war itself in tomorrow's parak, in which the whole idea is Smallville wins.